and Francesca present Santa Matrimony.
Hey, it's another Cinematrimony. We haven't done one in a while.
Well, and now we're never going to do it again. When you're back, we'll be asked not to do it anymore because that.
So affectionate. Anyways, we are talking about. They said it in the movie as Elysium.
Okay.
So that's how I'm going to say it. But it's the second film, as far as I know, from Neil Blomkamp, who did District 9, which I think we were both fans of.
Don't worry about it. You don't even actually need to follow the rules of traffic. Just kind of stop a little bit at that stop
as usual,
sign, but then go ahead and
we
go
are in the car while recording
sir.
This.
Oh, but you have a BMW, so I'm sorry. I was mistaken. You didn't have to do that.
So feeling a little class warfare-y coming out of this film, which is to get us started off. This is a pretty populist movie. It's definitely got, wears its class warfare like right on its sleeve, which I'm sure would be a turnoff to a lot of people. I think, you know, to the most of the movie going public would not have any kind of problem with like the values being espoused in the movie for sure. But I think
you say that, but you know, I mean, it's not like, that's the point of the movie. It's not really fair to go like, oh, the message movie, because like, I mean, that's all
it
the
is,
conceit
though.
Of the movie.
It is a message movie though, which
but also, let me stop you there. Any very, very wealthy person who would make the cut for Elysium would be like, but I would never be like that.
Right. Well, like or may, no, I don't know if that's true. I didn't find the rich people in the movie to be like,
I mean, I think it's more to do
I
with,
didn't find them to be horribly unrealistic. They were over the top, but they weren't like way over the top.
Well, I think it's more to do with immigration.
Yeah. Right. This is a very Latino appealing movie, I would imagine. Like, and here's kind of, before I get your take on it, here's kind of what I wanted to throw out there and see what you think about this idea. I think this is basically a superhero movie. What do you think about that? About me defining it that way?
I don't think you're right.
You don't agree?
No.
Well, let me tell you why I think that. So there's like sort of an origin story to him, and he ends up, our hero ends up getting sort of super powered. There's a super villain. There's like a larger sort of evil force that he's trying to fight against, and he's trying to help the common man in the meantime.
Well, so you say that, but he was not particularly super powered. He got wounded like crazy.
He did, but
all the time.
He's not invincible, but neither was Spider-Man. He just had a superpower that helped him do things that normal people couldn't. He's not Superman, but he's a superhero. He can rip like metal doors off and stuff.
Well, so can I, and I'm just super strong. So
anyway, that was my conceit.
I will tell you why I think that you are incorrect. And this is a big fat spoiler, everyone, so don't listen.
As always.
But he dies at the end. Superheroes don't do that.
Well, good point, because then they would... But that's interesting, though, because I think that, like, we've come to accept that part of the superhero genre is that it has to leave itself open for franchising, and there's never a superhero movie that's made that has...
Well, no,
other than Dark Knight,
with movies,
other than
so.
Dark Knight
I mean,
Rises.
That's the whole point of superheroes in comics. That
is that they
back.
Don't die?
Yeah, I mean...
There's
that,
no
that,
resolution?
I'm saying, like... comic books, comic stories as a genre. I mean, even if, I think, like, didn't at one point Batman actually die, and they just
well, they've all,
regenerate
him? I think
like,
they've all died at some point.
That's the point, is that superheroes, you know, always come back.
Well, but outside of that, though...
I mean, every movie is about a good guy versus a bad guy, so...
Anyway.
All superhero movies...
Well, that was sort of my point when I was trying to argue with you about how you don't like superhero movies anymore, but...
Yeah, so this didn't... there were some problems.
Okay, yeah, I want to hear what you didn't like about it.
Well, Jodie Foster, she was really bad.
Really?
Like, I think she's a good actress. There was, I mean, like, already I was kind of like, this is not a great performance. And then she's, and this was like third grade play acting. She went like, and deal with these two. Like, she did like, it was like the worst line reading I've ever heard in a Hollywood movie.
Well,
I've seen a lot of bad movies. I was like, what? In, what is happening? Like, her, she's, I thought she was a good actress. This is terrible.
In her defense, let me say this. One of my main complaints about this movie is that I think the screenplay is not very impressive. And I don't mean from a story standpoint, because I think there's some really cool ideas, and I think the story plays out well. But I think as written dialogue, it doesn't read in a very clever, like, there's no dialogue in this movie where you're like, that was a great line. Because it's, and I think that's probably true of District 9 too. Blomkamp is not a great writer of dialogue.
No, see, I remember District 9 being a lot better than this. Like, a lot more effective than, like, affecting than this was. But I also, the guy Spider, couldn't stand that actor.
Why not?
He was annoying.
I liked him.
I didn't like the way, he was like, I'm going to mess you up. Like, it was like a very, like, broad, like, oh, I'm crazy. I'll do what I want. Like, it kind of felt like, and maybe that is his actual voice, but it, like, felt like a white guy trying to do, like, a tough Hispanic man, okay?
Like doing Scarface, basically.
Hey,
yeah.
I'm going to get you.
Huh. Let's not do but it anymore also, before we verge into uncomfortable territory.
I'm just saying, there was, like, an acting style to him that I did not like.
Yeah.
But, and, what's his name? The South African.
There's no way that you're going to say something bad about Charlton Copley in this movie.
Stop it. I like him. The thing is, because this did verge on superhero stuff, was that he was doing, like, you know, he was doing, like, the bad guy banter, but, like, the accent is just so foreign and strange. Like,
that's what's so great about
it. I'm saying, but it takes you out of it a little bit because he's, like, doing, like, Americanisms, but he's saying, like, it's only a flesh wound. And, like, I think...
A flesh wound.
Like, the whole thing is, like... the accent is just, like... Think of how Americans say vowels. And then just scramble it all up.
Oh, just throw it right out the window. There's no relationship between South African vowels and American vowels at all.
He kept taking me out because he was, like, doing such an, like, an American thing in a movie to be, like, making little quips while you're, like, slicing somebody's head off.
But that's what I'm saying.
But... It, like, really would take me out of it because I was like, is this, like, a South African guy just, like, trying to be American? Like, it was a weird combination. But then it did circle back on it that I just started to really enjoy, like, how completely different it sounded coming out of his mouth.
But that's what I'm saying. Everything about his character is what I think to enjoy that character, you have to accept a very basic thing about this movie, which is... That this is a genre movie, and this is like, you know, I think this movie has more in common with a Tarantino movie than it does with something like, you know, I can't think of a sort of realistic sci-fi movie off the top of my head. This is not supposed to be realistic, I don't think. This is supposed to be very broad. And Jodie Foster's character, I agree with you. I think she's just kind of flat with her delivery. But, like, the whole Copley character is so over the top. He is a comic book villain. And he's walking around. I mean, look, this is the future where they have guns that basically, like, just make people explode into a big splat. And yet he's still walking around with a samurai sword, which has everything to do with the visuals that are going on. And, you know, that big fight towards the end with him and Matt Damon.
And the cherry blossoms.
Pretty. It's a kung fu scene. That's what it... I mean, it has very little to do with some kind of realistic portrayal of the future. It is a genre moment every bit as much as, you know, like the bride fighting, you know, Oren in Kill Bill. And to me, all of the stuff involving those two characters and how they sort of have it out for each other the whole movie is so fun and interesting to watch it play out. I think that also, I kind of can't decide how I feel about it in the end, but I think that's sort of why there's this really obvious like, oh, there's the girl and her daughter, the innocent child, and we play the, like, gladiator wailing woman music whenever we show them, and there's, like, the backstory where the old lady says, you're going to grow up to do something special one day.
That was one of my other big problems.
Those are very, very cliche things.
No, but they replayed, like, five different, like, it should have just happened once. They should have only shown you the flashback once, but there were, like, probably at least three of them that they showed twice in the movie, and it was like, I get it. Like, either just do it in the middle of the movie where it was originally,
but it was,
or only do it at the end, but don't do it twice.
But even the first, it's
insulting to me.
Well, even the first time they did it, it's like sort of cliche and ham-handed. But I kind of am okay with it because I think that they're working within this like genre of, you know, The Matrix, Gladiator, whatever you want to do, where there's this self-sacrificial hero who, and everything is rooted in the sort of like archetypes as opposed to trying to create some like complex, realistic character. And if you just sort of accept it as a genre movie that has some really interesting ideas floating around in it, there's a ceiling on how good a movie like that can be. But I think this, to me, this gets pretty close to that ceiling. Well, also, speaking of The Matrix, by the way, I know that I pointed out there was this like little trick that was going on. They do it a couple of times in the movie, and I'm pretty sure they were doing bullet time, a la Wachowski's.
Okay.
Anyway, continue.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you that it was, but I don't mind that there was flashback stuff. I mind that they used it twice. A lot, like...
Oh, they use it more than twice.
Scenes. No, I'm saying, like, that... No, they did. I mean, it was really, like, three or four different little, yes, like, flashback scenelets, but they showed them twice in the movie.
Right.
Like, that's just not good. And it was at the end, too. Like, just let it go, guys. Like, it was just... Economy of filmmaking, people. Like, that was too much. I mean, even if they had just flashback to one... If they had repeated a flashback, like, maybe one of them, I would have forgiven it. But that they did it so many dang times right at the end of the movie. It was just like, come on, like, we get it.
But I feel
that being said,
he did a little of that in District 9, too, I think.
Well, I don't remember. But, you know, you forgive a lot more when it's made on a budget of $12 and it's a first-time filmmaker. Like,
but this didn't feel like... Here's the thing. I feel like, special effects-wise, they handled it in a more subtle way. The fact that, like, that there's all this crazy stuff in every other shot, and yet it doesn't ever look like, what's something that's, like, garish? I mean, it doesn't ever look like a Transformers movie or anything.
No, I thought
even
that,
the
like,
robots.
I thought the robots really looked, like, at one point, one of the times when he was, like, talking to one of them before he left, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, are these actual animatronics? Because they look like I could reach out and
they might have been in a couple of shots. I don't know.
But,
I like that he works for...
It was not overly slick special effects.
Yeah.
Which I appreciated. And I thought it was an interesting, you know, premise and an interesting universe he created and everything. But there was just a few things. And it was two major performances that really bothered me. A lot.
Well, it really only felt like like I was saying, like the preachy part of it really is only the very beginning and the very end where it feels like it was a movie that was made by a like Occupy Wall Street person. But the rest of the movie, those are just sort of serving as the background for the action that's happening. But I do feel like it's like the beginning and the end.
Well, you say that like it's a bad thing, though. I mean, like, you're annoyed that somebody wrote a story about an underdog.
No, I'm not. I like, just think that they sort of like...
That's kind of what most
they're sort of like, man, people with the money, meh, corporations.
Yeah, but in the context of the story, they have every right to be mad at the people
yes,
with
they
the
do.
Money.
But obviously, a sci-fi movie is not about... it is always supposed to be about what's actually happening right now. And I don't think they're wrong. Again, I just think, like, they didn't really... there's a slight immaturity about it that... And again, I think that has to do with his writing. I don't think he's a great writer. I think he's a better filmmaker. Yeah, he did. I think he's a better filmmaker than writer.
Well,
But
and I
Carlton Shopley.
I love some Diego Luna and everything.
Yeah, he was good too.
Face.
He was good.
Love him.
I have to say though, before we sort of wrap this up, because we are wrapping up, the Charlton Copley character might be my favorite villain in a movie. I mean, I can't even remember the last time I enjoyed watching a bad guy in a movie that much. He's like Alan Rickman from Die Hard level enjoyment of that character for me.
You like that? You like that? I can't even.
Come get me, Effa. What does he say when he's on the like helicopter with the girl and he's like, he's like touching her hair, so creepy. And he's like, I always wanted a wife.
A wife. I know. Oh boy.
I'm gonna take care of you.
Listen though, I'll tell you what. There was this weird moment where I was
so
like,
great.
When he decided to like bring the girl up with him, I was like, well, maybe he's like actually got like sympathy or like has a soft spot for kids. So there's gonna be something redeeming about him. And then he starts like chopping people's heads off.
We're gonna get you. What is this? He keeps using the phrase. He keeps saying "cocked up." Like,
now we have to put an explicit on this.
Everything's cooked up. So great.
By the way, as we're watching the previews, I was like, is this PG-13 or R?
I don't remember.
And you were like, it's PG-13.
Well, what is it?
Definitely R. They use the F word every other second.
Oh,
and
yeah, that's
faces
true.
Faces got blown off.
That was awesome.
Okay.
When his face blows off.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks for listening. I by the way, do you have like a quick letter grade for this?
Like maybe a B. B minus, probably.
See, I'm kind of like straddling between an A minus and a B plus, but I'm going to go A minus because I enjoyed watching the vast majority of it. I was having fun watching.
Also, Matt Damon's just supposed to be Hispanic. We're just supposed
no,
to
he's not
him.
Hispanic.
What's
he's
his
a,
last name?
He's a white
his
kid.
His name is Max DeCosta.
He was adopted. He was living in an orphanage.
That's not being adopted. That's the opposite of being adopted.
Well,
Matt.
I mean, whatever. His last name was because he lived in an orphanage with a nun.
What do you mean? You don't adopt the last name of the nun who takes care of you.
Well, I don't know what happens when you're an orphan, but maybe it's like day whatever city he was living in or something, but he is supposed to be a white person living amongst
I don't
Hispanic
know, he's
people.
Speaking Spanish.
Because he was raised by a Hispanic nun.
Well, his last name was a Spanish last name.
Matt Damon is not supposed to be Hispanic.
No, you're acting like you're arguing with me. That's my point, is that he clearly was supposed to be Hispanic, but that doesn't make any sense.
He's not supposed to be Hispanic.
Why was his last name DeCosta?
I don't know why his character chose to adopt that last name, but he is
a
white
child.
Boy.
He didn't choose to adopt a last
name. He's a
name.
White little boy, too, in the flashbacks.
You know what? Some people of Hispanic descent...
Have blonde hair and blue eyes?
Yes.
I don't think so. I don't think that's true.
You don't know, Matt.
All right.
I will remind you of my good friend, Inez, who has green eyes and light hair.
And is half German, so...
Your butt is half German. Well, maybe...
Let's not talk about ethnic diversity anymore. We're going to get into trouble.
You're the one who's making it weird. You're the one who's making it weird, Matt.
All right, thank you.
You never posted that other one, and this still isn't on iTunes.
We'll get it up. You're going to get a double dose with this podcast, because there's an old podcast I forgot to post that will be going up with this one.
We're still not on iTunes. Email Matt. Tell him to stop it. Stop it.
Help me if you know how to help me with that. Thank you, everyone.
And send money.
Yeah, that too.
This isn't free. Love you. Bye.